The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, I'm joined in studio by the Sinn Féin leader, Mary Lou MacDonald. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. And now, can I speak in defence of the football game?
You can.
I was down, I wasn't actually at the game, but I was down around Croke Park in advance of it, and the atmosphere was absolutely electric. So
Before.
Well, and it was a very tactical game, albeit, but I think anyone from the Orchard County now is very happy, and I'm commiserations to Galway.
No, a win is a win is a win.
A win is a win, yeah.
I mean, if that's the way the game is going to be played, I suppose you adjust your tactics accordingly. But anyway, we're not going to
talk
about...
It's like politics, Pat.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. We're going to talk about the political game. Now, since you were in with me, I think it was on the 6th of June, you pivoted on immigration.
Well, since the 6th of June and the election and everything that's transpired since it, I mean, it's very clear that we have a lot of work to do, Pat, in Sinn Féin. The work has to be to demonstrate very clearly that come the general election, there is a choice, there is an alternative, and we want people to have clarity in respect of what that alternative means. So we have put together, I have it here, our international protection, a fair system that works. This is Sinn Féin's policy programme, our framework and our approach to international protection provision. It's very different from the government's approach, and it is a significant intervention by us. It puts, on the one hand, a humane and decent and efficient system front and centre, but also, crucially, community, dialogue with community, consultation with community as part and parcel of how we get this right.
But isn't it clear, therefore, that you weren't listening to communities before? If you're now deciding that community is the heart of this... But the communities, we presume, in terms of your numbers falling, they deserted you.
Well, what people had said to us is that they want to hear us speaking much more clearly, much more regularly on these matters. I would say, and I should say, nothing in the document is hugely new. On the issue of community, I had been banging this drum since way back when, I think November 2022, because we faced many of these issues in my own community in East Wall. What the document does, though, Pat, is it pulls together all of the elements in terms of proper resourcing, in terms of community engagement, and stating clearly that when you are placing these facilities and services that we need for very vulnerable people, you have to have regard for the community into which you are going.
But
and the poorest of the poor communities are not the correct setting.
But isn't this an effective veto? Because we know that no matter how well-heeled your community is or how deprived it is, there is not a surfeit of resources. There's not a surfeit of housing anywhere. There's not a surfeit of healthcare anywhere. There's not a surfeit of GPs anywhere. So virtually no area would pass the test that you were laying down.
No, I entirely disagree. And if we were to take our own home city, Pat, I think you and I could recognise very readily that there are daylight and dark differences between some communities and others. And I feel very strongly that the inequality in our society has to be addressed. The last thing I want to see is any community left behind. And when I say left behind, I'm talking about very, very basic facilities that many of our communities don't have. And that has to be taken account of. I think if you look to standard planning processes, they always have to take account of the reality out on the ground for any new intervention. So in these circumstances, particularly because you are bringing cohorts of vulnerable new people into communities, all of that has to be managed really, really well. And in a spirit that of respect and listening, and communities across the state do not believe that they have been respected or listened to. And let me be clear. We are not talking about a veto. The government have, as a matter, have made almost a virtue of their refusal to properly engage with communities, and they keep reaching for the veto card. We're not talking about vetoes. We're talking about a realistic assessment of the infrastructure, the services, the lack of on the ground. We're talking about respectful dialogue and engagement and actually listening to and responding to communities.
Okay.
And I believe that will speed the processes up, make them more efficient, but will also be a critical part for our social cohesion and public confidence.
Okay. How would that
in
audit,
this important...
To tease it out, how would that audit work?
So it has to be multi-agency. It has to be prompt. So we're envisaging weeks rather than months. And it has to engage all of the agencies critically, educational, health, but also community agencies and the local authority. And interestingly, you'll know and have been watching the appalling scenes in Coolock. And you may be aware of the community response. This is coming from the community itself through the Northside Partnership, bringing all of the agencies, the sporting stakeholders, the community, youth, all residents associations, the men's sheds, the food bank, you name it, in the community coming together. And they are looking for a mediated process for that community to be engaged and to be listened to. So what we're reflecting in our policy document is very much the instinctive and necessary response that's coming from the grassroots up.
OK, now, in practical terms, you say multi-agency. This is all kind of, I suppose, gobbledygook to many people. So many agencies. I mean, the Department of Education, they say we don't have any more spaces for our kids. Is that a veto? The County Council says we've no housing.
Well,
the
first process is before you, when you're selecting a location for an IPAS centre, is you go in and you do an audit of the area. And if it becomes absolutely apparent that the lack of service provision, that the level of deprivation in the community is very, very high, well, then that is not a chosen location. Where you go elsewhere and you say, well, this could be a runner.
Now, suppose everything is
fine.
Then
you speak to the community.
But the location is the hotel that used to serve the community. Suppose that's the location and there are schools and there is a sufficiency of GPs and so on and so forth. And this hotel is going to be taken from the community. Is that a veto?
That's where the consultation and the conversation with the community happens. There are some areas, in my opinion, that are simply not suitable locations for the reasons that I have set out. Where the proposal is to go ahead, well, then that's where you have to have a dialogue with the community and community interests. And to be honest with you, anybody who knows neighbourhoods or communities across the city or across the state will know that it's not that difficult, actually, to identify who the stakeholders are in any given village, townland, or city neighbourhood. It's straightforward, but you have to want to do it. It has to be a part of the process.
Do you not think that the minister desperately wants to get this right anyway? I mean, no one is looking to bring this trouble down on their own heads. And they're doing the best they can, whether it's Coolock or anywhere else around the country. They're saying, there's an empty factory. No one's, from our community is going to be living there because it's only a factory and it's going to be dormitory accommodation or whatever it is. It's a factory, for God's sake. If you offer that to the local people, they'd say, no, we're not going to live in that. You must be joking.
So I think the government's approach has been marked by a very last minute approach, by a lack of planning, and critically by a lack of consultation. And by the way, I had offered this view to the minister way back when. I've said this privately, I have said it publicly repeatedly, and no matter how often it is articulated, it seems government cannot appreciate just the value of that community engagement, and instead they argued that that forms some kind of veto. Think about it practically, and just through a prism of fairness. In any circumstances where there's going to be a change in a community, wherever that community might be, where a whole bunch of new people are going to arrive, and people, by the way, coming in many cases from very traumatic experiences, isn't the hospitable and the sensible thing to have a conversation, to make the introductions, to have transparent, accurate information all around? Doesn't that assist and help everyone? One of the other features in the plan that we have put forward that I'd like to mention is that we would require the Children's Ombudsman and HICWA to also audit this accommodation. That currently doesn't happen. I think it's very, very important that when we're accommodating people, that we do everything we can to ensure that it meets the appropriate standards. And in my experience, talking to people in communities where things have been done, you know, very suddenly, very chaotically, where people have initially felt, I suppose, put upon or ignored. Interestingly, they've often quoted two sets of concerns: their own community concerns around resources and how stretched they are and how they're going to manage and get by, but equally concerns around the nature of the accommodation on offer and the treatment of people, particularly children, in that accommodation and the necessary supports for them.
The way you're talking, you would think that the government is being deliberately malign, and that is certainly not the case. They're not trying to punish people who come here.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they're getting it wrong. And the document that we have published, a fair system that works, is our clear policy platform. But it is also an attempt in the here and now to assist the government to get it right. Because getting this right matters to all of us.
Now, some of the comments coming in... what is Mary Lou's policy or Sinn Féin's policy on those who attack the Gardaí and the fire services? I mean, we've seen the delivery of petrol bombs by drone into the Crown Plains factory. I mean, there are people there who are not just ordinary community activists. There are very mischievous,
They're criminal. Yeah. There are criminal elements there. And just to say to you, Pat, I have been threatened by exactly an element such as that. Threats up to and including a threat to take my life. Any of those criminal activities, anybody engaging in those criminal activities has to face the law. There's no room for attacking security guards. That was the first casualty, actually, in Coolock, or members of the Gardaí or the fire services, or creating a scenario in which ordinary people, some cases elderly people or children, get pepper sprayed or get hurt or harmed. There is a small element that are stoking up fear, stoking up hatred. There's a small element that are engaging in arson and other criminal activities. But it would be the biggest mistake to imagine that that is the community of Coolock, that they speak for Coolock. They don't. But don't miss the anger that's in that community. And it's for all of the reasons that I have set out to you. The good news is that it can be solved. This now, can be resolved if there's the will to engage.
This is a text from a Sinn Féin voter. Can you please put it to Mary Lou that we need a change at the top of Sinn Féin? The top five of Sinn Féin have gone stale and can only say the government is out of touch. To whatever the problem is, we need new people and Michelle O'Neill is our only hope. Look what a change has done positively to Fine Gael and to the Democrats in the United States. And John Drennan, you probably have seen this morning. Is Mary Lou the new Joe Biden? And if so, when will she give in?
Well, I would say, in fairness, I'm more Kamala Harris than Joe Biden, generationally, in fairness. Look, the document that we've just described and talked about in terms of international protection and Sinn Féin setting out our stall is part and parcel of us not simply critiquing government, but demonstrating what it is that we want to do, what it is that we believe can be done. We're going to do that in the area of housing. We're going to publish a comprehensive 5-year plan at the beginning of September. By the way, this will be the first and only occasion on which an opposition party will have done that. It took the minister a year to produce his, in government, a year to produce his plan. We launch ours in September. And look, the leadership of Sinn Féin is in rude good health. I have always thought that I lead a team with huge talent, including Michelle O'Neill.
But sometimes when you're out there and you're the chief opposition party, you're coming out of the same stuff again and again. The same few faces, very few faces in the front bench of Sinn Féin make any impact. You know, I can name Pearce and Owen.
David Louise. Claire,
yeah,
Moray,
okay,
yeah.
But you know what I mean. That maybe
we have a very strong.
All gone a bit stale.
Well, listen. Far from it. What we are and what we need to articulate is the opportunity that will present at the next election for a choice as regards who leads government, how government operates, what we prioritise to sort out housing, to sort out and support people through what is for many still a cost of living crisis, to deal with the waiting list, the chaos in some of our accident and emergency departments, kids with scoliosis, by the way, still waiting for their surgery.
One of the big things is housing. And when you were in with us before, you said that the state should be building on state land in the Dublin area. And I asked you to name a few places and you didn't have one.
So the affordable housing scheme would be part of that wider plan that I've described.
But locations, locations.
Yeah. So the Land Development Agency is now two stages through a process of identifying exactly where that land is. And they have identified land that would be sufficient to build, they tell us, 67,000 homes. That they've gone through, I think, five cities, including Dublin, and some townland areas. But that's a rolling process. Part of the difficulty, Pat, and I think I said this to you when we were talking last, is that there isn't an instantly accessible database wherein all of the lands held by the state are set out. But the Land Development Agency has embarked on that work. They will accelerate through that work. And the land we know, and I think it's widely accepted, is available.
All right. Mary Lou McDonald, leader of Sinn Féin, TD for Dublin Central. Thank you very much for joining us. Probably on holidays now.
Well, I'm still working. I hope to get away in August for a while, right. And I'm looking forward to it.
Well, whenever it happens, enjoy the holidays.
Thank you so much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.